Hello, everybody, and welcome to Throllers. I'm joined, as always, with Chris Reynolds. How you doing, Chris?
Very well, Alan. That was coming through loud and clear. Don't know if that was loud on your front, but though, welcome to the podcast, everyone. I feel like that's going to be a very aggressive intro for a few people.
Oh, okay, my bad. I'm all our stuff has different dials. Like all the inputs have an individual volume control, and there's an individual volume control for the sound pad thing as well, which is now what's on it. And it all gets muddled up every time I like move it around, and I got to try to remember what I have stuff on. And I feel like the last time that I listened to the pod, the intro was quiet, so I think I turned it up. Nice. So I don't know. And it's the balance between your voice and my voice, it's hard for me to get right in the headphones. So sometimes it comes through good, and then other times I think you're really quiet. And then it's like, oh, shit. So I don't know. I think I might have a good balance. Yeah, I got to start marking them. But anyway, you're on 8. I got you on 8 volume, and I'm on 6. I probably should have it higher because you have to turn it up pretty loud. But I feel like when I turn it up louder, I hear a lot of in the background of my headphones. So I don't know. I need to put some actual time into this. Outside of 5 minutes before we record. I actually went through some stuff with McCarthy, sent him some things, and he edited it together. And stuff definitely did sound better, but I got some stuff I want to do. I just got to put time to doing it to make sure it actually works. And I always kind of forget, and then I'm like, all right, well, we'll just do this again.
It's Wednesday, let's go. What I love about my volume being 8 and yours is 6 or whatever you said, what I love about both of that is you are, I like to think we are akin. You are an even numbers volume guy. Please tell me that's what I'm hearing.
Oh, no, mate. I'll be this is a dial. It looks like I'm at like 6.2, you're at like 7.9, you know what I mean? That doesn't bother me at all. I think you told me that once, and I just couldn't wrap my feeble little brain around what on earth you're talking about.
I'm not alone. I'm not alone. Listeners, hit me up. Who else refuses to have the radio dial to an odd number on the volume? It just can't be done. TV volume can't be done. There's some people out there that they'll accept multiples of 5, but I'm not even accepting multiples of 5.
Sure, man. you do you. You had a good week?
Yeah, Luke. It is what it is. It is what it is. A nice day today. Off-site today, doing some training stuff. I feel like I'm saying that all the time on this pod. I get off-site a bit with my job. But that means it's generally catered. And one of the catering pieces today was scones, jam, and cream. So good.
Nice. Are you weird with that too? How do you do your jam and cream? What's the order?
Oh, no. Well, this will be interesting. Oh, no. I do it the correct way, which is obviously cream is the butter substitute, so cream goes first.
That's so nuts. Cream's too light. You can't. The jam's thicker and heavier, so you got to lump that on and then like scrape it off with your knife, and then you dollop the cream on.
I'm a Cornwall guy, not a Devonshire guy.
Oh, I don't know. You're a guy who doesn't use enough cream. That's all I'm hearing. Because if you put the amount of cream that I put on, it can't go first. Because you couldn't get the jam off. Couldn't get the jam off.
I put more cream than you, and the jam is a dollop. The jam is like a nice surprise, like in a hot jam donut. It doesn't have to be evenly distributed. It's and away you go.
Right, well, I hate everything you stand for, but that's fine. it was ratings update day, start of the month. So we'll have a look.
Disc golf. Have a little bit of a look
what's been going on. And I think you alluded to it last part of the pod before. That our good friend in Tassie, Matt Green, had made some sort of newfangled website deal that ripped all the data, and it is so good. We have it now. It's so good. He's got it where it sets up in the order of, you know, highest rated player down, and there's no double ups and triple ups like there is when you play different divisions and you look for it on their website. It can tell you how much they've gone up and down on that list. So Aussie D has gone up one spot into fifth. But that's just because Alex Canaston has lost ratings points. So he's dropped down. Aussie D stayed the same. It's cool as shit. And it shows you how many ratings points each person's lost. And then you can either filter by that. So if I can click the little plus minus thing, it'll show me that Baylen Rhodes has gone up 122 rating points.
Huge.
Which is next level.
You can also find out something like Reese Kruger, who I saw pulled on the boots for the first time in many a moons, has dropped down 19.
Yeah, no good. I was having a look through earlier. We'll go with the Not Lights to begin with, because there's some heavy Melbourne scene in the Not Lights section. You mentioned Reese Kruger's an OG, but we've got Leo Dykes with a minus 13. Yikes. That's about as big as a drop gets for someone who plays consistently. Looks like that Invalid did a number on a lot of people, though. So Sean Mazie, big drop down 13. Sam Barnett, big drop down 11. Cam Ford, who I think even played good in the end, but somehow big drop down 8. So a lot of people who showed up to Invalid had some numbers done to them. I was all right, drop 1. I feel like I've been going down 1, up 1 lately, so not so bad.
Do you know what I want to know now, seeing Cam Ford there? What I want to know is Jacob Cruden versus Cam Ford. All right, so what have we got? 8-7-8 for Cruden. And Ford 887. Oh, he's still got Jacob covered. Yeah.
I didn't see too many people in the Melbourne scene on the higher end though. Josh Smith leading the charge though with a plus 11. So not everyone who went to Invalid got crushed. Jay Ross as well did very well out of that Invalid tournament. Plus 9 for himself. Any other names that jump out at you? I feel like I saw Josh Quinn at some stage.
Yeah, Picanti up 7.
Oh, that's big.
Yeah, that is big. That's a nice little jump. And yeah, Josh Quinn was also sitting on a plus 7.
Marlon up 7. Starting to make some moves as well.
There you go. Mazie up 5. Bit of a bounce back there for Mazie into 9-2-6.
Glenn's rated higher than me now. Shit. Again, I would have to surmise. I'm sure Glenn was rated higher than me for a while.
Yeah.
That's it. That's right there, though. That's just right there in front of me. this is cool. We're going to have to keep an eye on this. Matty Faz up 5 as well. This is dope. And was there much movement for just the overall big boys?
Yeah, so you touched on obviously a little flip-flop between Alex and Aussie D. There was another little flip-flop between Paddy, who's back into the 980 club, so up into 8th highest rated in the nation over Dan Frost. Dill Feldman, surprisingly, no change.
Well, how does that work?
Yeah, well, I could figure it out pretty quickly. He played a 1,000 rated event, but he must have just lost a 1,000 rated event, like, because of course, 12 months ago he was playing 1,000 rated golf, so he must have just like swapped one 1,000 rated event for another. And yeah, no real notable big shifts in the top 20. However, Patrick Wilson up 9 spots to find himself in that 20th slot, with a plus 4 into the 962 club. Mikey Hare, unbelievably, someone who we wasn't that long ago, Alan, we were throwing shade at, is nearly top 20 in the country.
It's pretty amazing. It's honestly pretty amazing. It's really cool to see. He's taken over. He's passed Aiden Howard. He's passed Ruben Berg. So he is in the Melbourne scene now the second highest rated player.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, we don't count David Perry as in the Melbourne scene.
Correct.
Pretty incredible. But Diros up four, well, up two ratings points, but up four on the total to 15th place. Just starting to really distance himself from the rest of them. He's been hanging on to Aiden a decent amount, but now starting to, like, I know it's only six away, but he's basically one ratings update from potentially being into the 70s, and Aiden could be dropping down into the 50s. So the gap, hopefully, for Aiden's sake, isn't widening too much, but it's starting to creep up a little.
Well spotted.
All right, cool. We have a nice special guest coming on the pod in a bit. Alex Evans is going to do the King of the Hill for the MA50 gang and have a chat with us about the, what was it called, the Junior Club Championships. So hopefully we can get him on in a minute. We're actually going to try to do this live, which, I mean, we always do it. We always do it live, but I mean, this one's somehow more live than normal. So we'll see how it goes. Just shot the message out to see if he's ready, and we'll go from there. But how did you fare in your ratings update before we move on?
I got absolute faith that this is going to work seamlessly. No, obviously did not play an event, so I am good to go stalemate. Just want to have a little look. Did I drop? Yeah, just through others doing better, though, I'm down to 45th in the country.
There you go. All right, well, let's see if we can get Alex Evans in. Oh, I thought it might make a call sound. There we go. You in there, Alex? Nah. Yeah, there he is. Alex, how you doing? Can you hear him, Chris? Or am I crazy?
No.
Oh, here we go.
I feel like we're getting closer, though.
How you doing, Alex?
Hey, guys. I'm good. How you going?
Oh, we're the best. This is working.
Yes, and this is working.
We're elite, so we're loving it.
Love it.
We're very happy to have you joining us here. We've got a couple big things to talk about, which is pretty cool. The Junior Club Champs and the King of the Hill for the old boys. Which one would you want to go with first?
Let's talk about the Junior Club Champs.
Perfect.
Yes, please.
Sounds great.
Yeah, cool. All
right. Now this is where Ash Wiedner can just mute the pod for a minute, I guess.
So Junior Club Champs. So it's at the moment, it's just an idea, but we are fully intending, you know, this year, towards the end of the year, we're going to run the first ever Melbourne Junior Club Championships. Most of the Melbourne players will probably know, but just for anyone who doesn't, we have a regular club champs and we have Division A, B and C. And we also have an MA50 division and a female division. And the idea is, you know, you top 36 players across those divisions over the year, you know, through the social days, get to come and play for the title of club champion for those divisions. And this year we've had heaps of kids playing, heaps of juniors playing at the social days. I think it's at least 15 I've counted over the year, which is fantastic. And just thinking it'd be great to have them in the club champs somehow, but there's not really any room to squeeze them in, or, you know, maybe we could have squeezed in a junior card or something, but I just kind of thought it'd be a bit, you know, we've got boys and girls from, you know, 6 up to 17, and lumping them all in one division might not be, you know, the best. But why not just run it as a, you know, run a separate championship?
Standalone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Big. Like, just to even just hearing, like, obviously the fact that, yeah, like, anecdotally, like, I'm just looking at, like, Melton now, and again, Archer was there, and of course, Mia was there as well, representing her tie-dye thrower shirt. But, yeah, anecdotally, absolutely, there's been so many kids at these days, and, you know, it ebbs and flows, like, having been in the game and been in the club for a little while, I think while we are at maybe a bit of a peak of, like, kid involvement, let's like, celebrate that. Absolutely. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm hoping it's not a peak as well. You know, it might be a high high line for us so far, but you know, hopefully it'll keep growing. And you know, this year, as I say, we've got about 15 kids maybe. We're not going to get them all there on any given day, but you know, even if we have like 6 kids turn up and they have a great time, and maybe they'll bring a friend, a new friend who hasn't played before, you know, we want it to be competitive so they can compete within the divisions, because I know some of the kids have friendly rivalries, but it'd also be a great place for a first time one to come without, you know, too many of the, you know, a real kid focused day. So have some competition, keep it fun for the new players, have a good lunch, maybe have some games, maybe get some pros down for some coaching, whatever, you know, sort of open to ideas, whatever anyone thinks would make it a good day for the kids. You know, throw your ideas to us. Ross and I are working on it. Daz has put up his hand to help out as well. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Keen, what a great idea.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand you've set up a group chat. Is that right as well, to maybe call?
Yeah. Oh, I've lost you, Chris.
Yeah, he does that.
Is the group chat?
I don't know. Can't be that important, no. Chris. We'll move on.
I'll pretend I knew what the question. Yeah. Yeah, got you there. Yeah, so we made a group chat for juniors. It was partly just to get everyone together so we could, you know, communicate stuff like this and get people's ideas, partly for anything else that's junior related. Although I see Facebook today has been saying they're going to delete community chat, so I don't know where that's going. We might need a plan B there, but that's all right. We'll figure out something else. So yeah, just trying to get everyone, you know, obviously Facebook works for some people, doesn't work for others, but I'm trying to reach out to as many people as I can, parents, and you know, sort of work out what day works best and you know, levels of interest, what would make it a good day. Yeah,
unreal.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'll contact Alex if you're keen to get involved in the day. We'll see how we can go from there.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good.
All right. All right, time for some King of the Hill. This is our 6th hill, I think. Maybe hill 4. And this is going to be a good hill. The Old Man Hill. Is it a MA50 plus hill? Is that what we're looking at, Alex?
Yeah, it's MA50, but it's Melbourne specific. You know, I'm not going to try and do the whole country. I don't know the whole scene. So it's a Melbourne specific one.
All right, sounds good. I'm super keen. Where do you want to start? The top or the bottom?
Okay, we're going to start at the big level at the bottom. So I'm calling this the MA50 King of the Hill. I'm calling it the Grand Master of the Stair Lift.
It's good. It's good.
Yeah. And actually, first look, I just want to say about the timing. I can't believe you. I thought I was going to be doing it last week, but instead you had that bloody Wiedner Palooza instead, and somehow I was supposed to follow that.
Yeah, it's tough.
Just try to keep it under 29,000 minutes, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, I've listened to audiobooks that were shorter than that segment, but I'll try and get it out before midnight. Cool. All right. So basically, it seems like the rules to this are pretty sketchy. So I've added my own pretty sketchy interpretation. So it's all pretty arbitrary. But what I've said is, to be eligible to get on this hill, you've got to be a regular MA50 player, and you've got to have played more than 2 Melbourne social days this year. And I will just say, you know, as we've learned this week, the definition of more than 2, it's a pretty subjective thing. It's quite a controversial thing. But, you know, we'll muddle through somehow.
Yeah.
And, okay, so in drawing up the hill, I kind of included performances from social days and tournaments. Some people play one and not the other, but as long as you meet the minimum requirements, you've got a chance of getting on, but not to the extent of actually going back and looking at results. So it's really kind of more around my hazy recollection of performances than actual performances. And I'll also say, old men don't like steep hills. So this is more of a, it's a pretty gentle slope. So that means anyone can pretty much beat anyone else or lose to anyone else about three levels above or below them on any given day. It's, yeah, it's pretty volatile around that 840 rated range. Yeah, we got heaps of blokes. Actually, it's a really good, the MA50 scene is, it's a lot of fun. I think I had about 20 names or so. So there are people who are going to miss out. So Rob Higgins, Mike Smith, David Heath, Simon McKay. So they're all honourable mentions. They're all regulars who didn't quite make it. Terry is not there because he hasn't played a social day. Anthony Pearsall, Roland Weber, they have also not played more than two, so they don't make the cut either. All right. Tier 5. This is called Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up. So first on this one is the Pride of St. Kilda, Eamon Dawson.
That's good.
Eamon's always good fun. He's got the best shirts in Melbourne now that Eamsy and Tanya are no longer here. always a great card, mate. Next on tier 5 is Eamon's good mate, Brett Bobridge. Brett unfortunately got injured at the Invalid Open, so sounds like he had a bit of a fall there. So I hope he's recovering well. Peter Howes is the third one on tier 5. Peter's always another fun guy. He has probably the biggest smile in disc golf, but he has a bit of a wicked sense of humour as well. So he's a good fun guy to have on the card. Number 4 on the bottom tier is Rob Hall. So I don't think I've seen Rob at many tournaments, but he certainly played quite a few social days. He's a Chelsea local, and he's been putting in some decent performances at social days, so he makes the list. All right, and the last bloke on this tier is pretty fortunate to make it on the list at all. If I'm honest, I only put him on as a personal favour. It's Alex Evans.
Yes!
I wish you'd asked me to do this about 6 months ago because I was playing. I felt like I was playing great. You know, I won the Ruffy tournament, my one and only win, and I thought I was going great. But you know, if you've been following my results,
would have been up on tier 2.
Yeah, if you've been following my results since then, and I really hope you haven't. It's been pretty.
Oh no. Nah, well, that's a good start. Finding room for yourself is always good, unless your name's Jace Wiener, then that's crazy. and having both Brett and Eamon, I think that's it's almost a mandatory. I think if you have one, you have the other. So it's good. Good list so far.
Cool. All right. Let's move on to tier 4. Okay, I've called this one, you go on ahead, I'll rest here for a bit. All right, first on tier 4 is Matt Finnegan.
Hey!
I think you're right. It was a controversial omission from the Chumps Pyramid last week. I think it was Matt who was left off, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But yeah, because Matt can play. He can, you know, he can really fling it. It's not always the most consistent. I think he has good days and bad days, but when he's on, he's hard to beat. All right, next one. It's another Chelsea local. It's the Hammer, Mark Green. Mark, another good player, especially down on his local track. He's great, very hard to beat down there.
The Runs Hammer
down there too.
Didn't know the Hammer is how he got around.
He's a big West Ham fan.
Gotcha.
That's the reference there. All right, next on tier 4, Simon Farrar. Simon, he probably flies under the radar a little bit. He still doesn't have a PDGA number, but he pops up at the odd tournaments and the odd social day. Doesn't play, you know, doesn't play heaps, but he's always good when he does play.
He's like Mike van der Linden light.
Yeah, he's a good mate of Mike's. Yeah, they're often together, and Simon's often a few strokes behind Mike.
Yeah.
All right. All right, and the last on tier four, it's the nicest man in disc golf. And you're probably thinking, how can that be? Because Chris Scott's the nicest man in disc golf.
We got a few.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to take a little diversion here and ask, you know, Chris Scott, supposedly the nicest man in disc golf. This is the bloke who runs by far the biggest small scale money laundering operation in Victoria. Every week, Tuesday night, without fail, his gang comes in, dozens and dozens of dollars of non-sequential $5 notes and $2 coins, passes it on to his bag man, you know, a guy who's just known as the bully, to go and integrate back into the economy. So, you know, is that the kind of person who's the nicest guy in disc golf?
Probably not.
No, he's not even. He's not even Chris Scott, which you may not be aware of this, but that seems to be a persona he's stolen from someone in Geelong. It's called Chris Scott. He's a disc golf and photography. So, no, I'm going to give the final place on tier four to the actual nicest guy in disc golf, who has hardly any history of money laundering and identity theft. It's Peter Barry.
Yeah, for sure. Bang.
For sure. Hard to complain about that.
Yeah. All right. Tier three. This is called Back in My Day We Had to Use Paper and Pen.
Good.
All right. It wouldn't be a proper MA50 list if it didn't include the man who's synonymous with Melbourne disc golf, Jeff Brunsting, which is why this isn't a proper list. He's not on the list. He doesn't make the cut.
That's so good. He doesn't play social days anymore. He's not around.
He doesn't play social days. I don't think he even lives in Melbourne anymore. He's abandoned us.
Pretty much.
But that's fair. On a positive note, congratulations, Alan, on becoming the best Brunsting in Melbourne.
Oh, let's go. You're the first person who's ever said that.
All right. First name on the tier three, it's Mike Spangenberg.
Mm.
Oi, Spangers. There we go.
Spangers, when he plays, you know, he's always up there. He throws it a good way. He's hard to beat.
Yeah. Capable of popping off, capable of going like 100 rating points above his rating at like Bald Hill on occasion. So, yeah, he goes hard sometimes.
Yep, absolutely. All right, next on the list, I've got Glenn Ralston. Glenn's a pretty new player, but he sort of came flying out of the gates and, you know, was pretty much instantly beating virtually everyone else in MA50 and plenty of others as well. So, you know, he's really impressive how he's gone from complete beginner to super competitive in no time.
Yeah, we don't normally like that.
But what we do like is big fans of the show, and Glenn is a big fan of the show, so I'm glad he's made the list.
True.
Yeah, no, yeah, he was always going to be on that. I think he hasn't been playing quite so well lately. I think he's had a few wobbles, but I think that's also... He's also played a couple of tournaments in MA3, and I think they're kind of dragging him down to a lower level. So last time he was back in MA50, so I'm confident if he sticks with us, he'll be heading back in the right direction again.
Nice.
All right, and last one on tier three, it's the pest. It's Doug Adams. Doug is, well, there's... Yeah, we all know Doug. He's another great player. Talked about him before. He's a bit unlucky to be squeezed out of the top two tiers, I think.
Yeah, he's very good, very consistent. Doug plays a lot of disc golf and knows his game well.
Yeah. All right. Tier two is called Did I Ever Tell You About the Time? First name on tier two, it's Mike van der Linden, president. Mike's great.
It's good at disc golf.
Good at disc golf. Good at lots of stuff. He's very consistent. He's won a few tournaments, you know, against stacked fields. He's always at every tournament. So, okay. Next name on tier two. It's Kerry Edwards.
Spicy.
This one might be a little controversial. If you'd asked me a couple of weeks ago,
might have gone the other way.
In a different order.
Yeah.
You know, look, Kerry's kind of been, he's probably been the benchmark, you know, at least in the time I've been playing. I think he's probably won more MA50 events, you know, in 2 or 3 years I've been playing, at least in Victoria, even with injuries keeping him out. So, you know, he throws a long way, backhand, forehand. He's very good. He's very competitive. He doesn't like finishing second, so he probably won't appreciate this. I'm expecting he'll. I'll get a message or two when it goes out.
Yeah, expect it.
You can expect that tonight. He'll be listening.
Yeah. He's in far north Queensland this weekend for a tournament up there.
Oh, okay. So yeah, maybe some rum fueled messages.
Could do.
Yeah. But yeah, look, he's competitive. He'll be back. He'll be back. All right. And tier one, I've called "Get Off My Lawn." At the top of the top, the grandmaster of the stairlift. It's Richard Lewis Shell.
Yep. Bang. He's been Richard, good.
He's been good. He's been good. He's been getting better. And really, he gets the nod because of the epic victory over Carey at the Invalid Open a couple of weeks ago. They had a fantastic battle. You know, Richard, you get about a three-shot lead after the first round. Second round, they were kind of toe-to-toe. Carey pulled level. Carey even took the lead with a few holes to go. And then Richard, I think, with about 4 holes to go, he kind of just bam, bam, bam. He just he closed it out and caught Carey again. And, yeah. Fantastic battle, and I'm sure the two of them will have plenty more in the months and years to come.
Yeah, I'm sure. No, that's cool. I like it. I'm not mad at that at all.
Good list. What I like about getting the king of the Stairmaster out there is just people waiting for their birthdays as well. There'll be a couple of 49-year-olds out there listening to this going, right, I'm getting on that list next year.
And yeah, the social day requirement too. Like Peter Howes has been to the last 2 social days, so he only needs one more and he's right there. So Jeff Brunsing might get back in the country and actually play one or two of them, see if he can get himself on the list. It's gonna be interesting.
Yep. No, we could update this in a few months and it might look pretty different, I reckon.
Even Cranny might just be so compelled that he might have to come down and play some Melbourne events.
That's right. That's what this is all about, is just driving people to social days.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Yep. Oh, if David Perry ever rocks up, we're taking full credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. cool. Now, that was a great list, Alex. Really appreciate you putting that together for us.
Yeah, no problem. It's a bit of fun, and I hope we get some feedback.
Yeah. While you're still here, Alex, did we get much feedback from last week's list, Chris?
Yeah, great question. Yep, definitely. Of course we did. The Wiedners squeezing themselves on there was obviously a hot topic. Put out on social media the little emojis associated with a few of the names as well. I try to tag some people with some emojis, and I was like, what emojis did I miss? And a couple of players hit me up saying, oh, you should have got a bike helmet on there for Ash Wiener.
True.
Damien Musey was disappointed with being tier 5 in the little tipping comp that you run, Alan. He is 3-0. He has not lost a matchup in the little tipping comp that you run. So we thought that might work him up that list. And yeah, that's about it.
There you go. Any feedback that you had seen, Alex? Was you had any thoughts on the chump list? Were you stiff?
No. I mean, you know, obviously it's a little embarrassing about being on the same level as Jacob, but you know, that's okay. I'll wear that. I might just address that department store Santa thing.
Yes, please.
It's not the first time Ash has said that. He's mentioned it to me 2 or 3 times before. And look, I'm not quite sure where it's coming from. And, you know, obviously we don't want to go playing amateur psychologists, but, you know, it's obviously a manifestation of some early childhood trauma or some need for validation from a father figure that he didn't get from his dad. Or some, you know, I'm not quite sure what he's after, you know. Does he want me to give him a present or tell him he's been a very good boy, or does he want to sit on my knee and have his photo taken? I don't know, and I don't really want to know. It's probably best kept between us and his therapist. But, yeah, I don't know. It's the thing. I mean, look, it's kind of interesting because if you compare it to, you know, Jason, or, you know, as I like to think of him, the control experiment, nobody's suggesting that Jason's allergic to attention, but he doesn't seem to have the same Santa issues as Ash, you know, the same sort of craving for that fatherly recognition. So, you know, I kind of feel bad for Ash, but it's kind of just life, you know. Not everyone can be the favorite child.
There you go. That's fair. It's very fair.
Good observation.
It's beautiful. Well, that was that was a lot of fun, Alex. Thanks for joining us.
Cool, no problem. All right, cheers, guys.
See ya. Thanks, mate.
See ya. Bye.
Just going whack. That's so funny.
That is one of the better drive bys we've had in a little while.
Didn't see that coming, I must admit.
No.
Good list by him, though. We like that. That's good. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, and again, still just like every time we get a new list now, I'm just disappointed in Zach, really, for not
putting
just
himself on.
Wedging himself on there. It really is the theme.
He's the only one so far who hasn't done it.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny. And it all seems justified except for Jace. But anyway. a lot of these chumps were out at Melton on the weekend, and there was definitely some messages of when is this getting shook up? How am I getting on it? Because there were some names on the list that did not do so well, as some names that did not make the list. So we'll go through some of the social day results. Nath Parrish popped out in the non-member section with a neg 10, just quietly, clean neg 10, which would have put him equal with you for D-Ray leader. Did you guys play together?
Yeah, correct. No, he played the 10:30 slot. I played the 8 o'clock slot. We that's one way of looking at it. I much prefer to look at it as I had a 3-stroke victory, because he's not a member. But yeah, sure, you could also look at it like we tied. But also, it's great that he's popping off at another event because he's obviously on the King of the Hill because he comes to Melbourne Social Days, and this is a little reminder that he does occasionally come to a Melbourne Social Day. So well done, Nathan Parrish.
And not just come, but dominate.
He did well. Apparently, he had a lean final three holes as he got very close to taking over my score. And he might have parred out or only got one of the three. But he could have surpassed me. But the pressure got to him.
There you go. The king stays on top.
Yeah.
In Div C, I've been this one kind of hurts me. I've put Kim Michelle in a couple of tipping matchups and tipped her both times and to no avail. And the one time I leave her out, she absolutely dominates, takes down an egg 4 and wins Div C by 2 strokes over Ross Davies and then Aaron Ponderai, the only other person under the card. So very nice round there by Kim. Just the lone bogey on hole 1, so must have missed the island. But other than that, she's the only person, I think, with just the one bogey in Div C. So a very nice round there indeed. I imagine she'd have to be pretty high up in the handicap leaderboard there.
I would suspect so. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
Great performance. Not the only one out of that household with a great performance. As we head across to Div B, and there are some colours to be looked at. When you cast your eyes over Ash Wiedner, who went chainless ace on hole 7. It's funny how often that hole gets ace. It's such an awkward basket placement. And But yes, Skip Aces just sometimes jump in there. I feel like I've seen Daz jump in there. I may have even seen, have you jumped in on 7?
No way.
No, it must have been Daz. But Matt Daniels' starting hole was hole 3, and he got his round started with an ace.
That's crazy. Do you just go home after that, or what do you, like, he kept playing. It could only get worse.
Yeah. But no, strong performance. Neg 6 got him, you know, T3rd with Bacanti Beans, who also would be pretty chuffed with the Neg 6, I believe. But they were both done by the future junior club champ, potentially, and Zach Schloffel with the Neg 7s. Both of those players in the ace pot, Alan?
One of those players. So Ash Weedner in the ace pot, Matt Daniels not. So Ash took down $190-ish off the top of my head. And Matt Daniels just went home. Just went home with a signed now, disc.
You alluded to it a second ago, but obviously we find some chumpy names in Div B. That's where you would expect to find some chumpy names. There's someone down the bottom of that list there who I think found themselves on the Sergeant of the Shit Pile, did they not?
Oh, yeah. So Matty Farina with a +5 was definitely on the Sergeant of the Stink Pile. So was Max Tatt. So was Jace Weedner. And so was Ash Weedner. And names that weren't on there, Matt Finnegan, who tied with Ash, Matt Daniels, who beat him, Picante, who beat him, Schleff, who beat him, and Marky was on there. So interesting. But I feel like that's where the chump's at. It's the, of course they don't hold their spot all the time.
Exactly.
But, definitely a bit of a disgruntled there. Matty Faz has pulled out of the Throwlers tourney, so he with a bad back. So potentially, or I'd assume that's why his score is so bad, because he's so far. I put him in the tipping comp and then tipped him because of his solid performance at Invalid, and then he's like, oh, that's my one and done for the year.
you highlighted Kim's one bogey before. Like, you can't go to Melton and get one birdie.
Yeah, exactly. But bogey free for Marky, so very good. The only person in Div B to go bogey free, so well done.
Nice.
What about the Div A boys? Some really. I'm looking at sevens and sixes and fives galore for Div B. So Div A must have crushed it.
So I played the 8 o'clock round. I snuck in a neg 10 with like a 15 meter putt on my last hole just to jag that. And it felt light on. Penn was playing the 10:30. Conditions were prime. But just here in sunshine, it was like blowing a gale. But Melton was like completely immune to it. Like, it was no wind. The sun was out. It was T-shirt weather. And I honestly left thinking, the bunny's going to get me. Neg 10 is not good enough in these conditions. And not only was it good enough, it was good enough by a little while. But when we get to the handicap board in a second, you'll see that Div A struggled because, those scores are not good enough.
Yeah, you messaged me right after the round and just said Penn will smash that score. And conditions are perfect. Penn will smash that score, but nowhere near it. So Carey and Penn in second place with neg sevens, which, three strokes off of the Melton top dog. Taryn and Hardy with a couple sixes and then, some fives. And then it gets pretty lean after that. So Not a strong performance by Div 8. If you look at, what was it, a neg 5 gets you, neg 3 gets you 8th place in Div B and gets you 7th place in Div A. Like, they're pretty, like, it's pretty standard across the board. If you take out your 10, then the Div B top dogs and the Div A's look exactly the same. So very, very strange. We never see that.
No. No, and I pointed it out in his message to us, was Carey Edwards potentially the handicap winner for Div A, and he got 24th.
Crazy.
On the handicap. So, not good enough.
Not good enough at all. Have you got the handicap stuff in front of you? Or I've got mine.
I do.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I definitely do. Mia takes it down with a 31.08 over Memphis. Virgos Shepesi.
Perfect.
Are you familiar with Memphis?
Yeah, the city, but not the person, no.
Correct. Roz rounding out the podium. You said Kim Michelle would find herself near the tippy top. She found herself in sixth. Yeah, and, you know, Zach had a good one as well in eighth. Down the other end, no surprises. Ville, who at one stage was looking potentially like was going to have a better raw score, like over under the card at Inverley, than what he did at at Melton, which is does not translate well. Cooper finds himself down the bottom, and as does Buckets Farina.
Yeah, Glenn Rolston is too, as Alex mentioned, just a few light ones in a row for Glenn. So maybe he's trying to get his way back down to be Div B and just feel good about himself, potentially.
Maybe.
We shall see. I think we had some Throwlers guarantee action in and amongst this. And
yes, please.
I don't think it was a real good day for me.
No, I don't think it was.
You pitted Taron against the president, Mike van der Linden. And I didn't love Taron there. And I went heavy. I didn't want you to tip him, so I didn't want you to take Mike, so I gave you a 7 for Taron, and you said, yep, why not? And fuck, Taron put in a pretty nice score.
Came in
the morning with a -6. I was like, all right, Mike's got some work to do. Started off pretty quiet, started getting a bit of momentum, and then took a 6 on hole one, and there was my hopes gone right there and then.
He nearly got so close to the tie though, didn't he?
I think he
finished on 7. So yeah, part 6, which prevented the tie. But yeah, a 6 on 1, that's, you know, is he 3 times off the mulch? He's at least twice.
I don't know. There was only 1, 2, 3, 4. There was 4 sixes on hole 1, and 3 of them are way down the bottom. And Mike's up there. So he killed me because, he birdied 5 out of the next 6 holes. So thanks, Mike. 7 points goes to you, which if I get my little thing up, puts you up to, 26 plus 7 is 33. And mine, I had Ilya versus Damian Mushi, and you gave me a 7-6 for Ilya, and I liked him. I don't know why I liked him. Damo in Melton is good. I like tipping against the locals at their local course. I don't know why. It's just like a terrible thing I do. And Ilya started like bogey, 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 bogey. I was like, all right, cool. Well, that was sick. Recovered all right, but, not good enough. And even for him and Damo with a -5. So, 0 points for mine. I stay at 27, now 6 back of you. Sad, 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 sad. So, I don't know. I've got some work to do. Hopefully, I can pick something good for... there is social day. Oh, there's plenty to tip this
Chelsea.
Week. So, cool. All right, plenty of stuff to tip. Might have to venture my eye over at Cobden, but... so not so good. What do we got left? There was no, what do I think? Oh yeah, the tipping with the Melton social day. I was like, there was something else there. So, we had Ilya versus Damo on there, and Damo obviously takes that one down. He was a reasonable favorite, but, there was definitely plenty taken. Ilya, it was Mark Hardy versus Cooper Thompson. I floated that, I think, in the Throwlers guarantee, and you gave me donuts for Hardy. You were like, 1. And he smoked him. So some people weren't listening. There was a handful of Cooper takers and a couple draws, but wasn't a bit dumb. Carey versus Chu, and Chu was picked more than Carey for sure, and Carey got it done easily. Chu was trash, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, Penn versus Chris Reynolds. It's insane that people still take Penn against you. They obviously don't listen. He's your buddy. He doesn't beat you. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know how good he wants to get. But especially the social day, he doesn't beat you.
I am one of those listeners who tip Penn.
Oh, you did too? Oh, you're shit. You're crazy. He doesn't beat you.
I hadn't touched a frisbee in 5 weeks.
Doesn't
matter. Like, I don't know what's going to happen. Anyway, it turns out I was going to pant him.
looks to me like, yeah, Penn was probably slightly favored over you. So well done there. Matt Daniels over Ash Widener. Very close one, that one. But yeah, Matt gets it done pretty handily. And Max Tats over Matty Faz. I was one of the few morons that picked Matty Faz. So that was good. And Ross Davies, after telling everyone in the chat, don't pick me, I'm shit, don't pick me, I'm shit, gets it done over Peter House.
And yeah, and a close one.
The controversial one, and there was no controversy in my mind, but apparently there was in some others. It was, how did I word it? Will hole 8 gets more than 2 birdies, and yes, no, draw. And like, if it's yes or no, to me, like, intuitively, draw just means 2. More than, less than, and then 2. But anyway, there was a bit of contention in that, which I don't really care about because I tipped the draw and it came up. So, whack. 5 people went the draw, and apparently it was a terrible call. I did not do my research into it. I just knew it was a really hard hole. I looked at the players who were playing, and I was like, oh, maybe 2 people could get it. But what did Alex say? There was like 12 out of they've ever played it at the social days that got it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it was. So in more than 600 attempts at the hole, only 12 had netted the birdie in like combined social days. And that went up by 16% on the weekend because another 2 got it.
That's so funny. So yeah. I have to give them shout outs. And it is not, I think it might sound surprising to people, but that hole lends itself to a flex forehand, does it not? It's been a minute since I've been there. But if you've got yourself a powerful flex forehand, is that kind of the shape?
You need it to hold the Annie a bit longer than a traditional, a typical flex. It's there, but I'd say it's slightly awkward, or you bring in a tree into play.
Okay. Well, Mark Hardy has got about as good of a like a flex forehand as anyone at the club, and he takes down the 8. And most people will not be familiar with Ilya's game, but that was the first thing I noticed when I played with him. We were at hole 5 at Bald Hill, and he just whipped out a monster flex forehand. And I was like, what? Like, who's this guy? So they go bang, bang, and make me look like an absolute genius. So thanks, boys.
If I'm reading this correctly, Carey Edwards took down the also Div A handicap, also won by Carey Edwards. Div A CTB was on hole 8, won by Carey Edwards, took a bogey.
Oh, stiff.
And obviously you've got Ilya birding it and Hardy birding it. So like, Hardy can't putt, so I don't think Hardy's making a circle 2 putt. So I think at least Hardy's in circle 1. Carey's closer and has potentially 3 putted. Ouch.
Yikes.
Still gets the voucher though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I'll have to get some tips going for next week for Chelsea.
Yes.
All right, we had the Discraft Great Lakes Open on in the weekend to a Disc Golf Plus event, Disc Golf Pro Tour Plus event, which this is my own dumbass fault for our tipping comp later on. I did not realize that the plus was like a 125 and the playoffs are 150 points up for grabs. So
yeah,
I thought this was one of my last chances to use like a good guy and get some bonus. And then anyway, yeah, we'll see. Did you watch much of it?
Yeah, Of course. Yeah, mostly the men's this time. I wasn't really watching the girls in the middle of the hour with Ilya, but I watched lots of the men live, including the last round. What about yourself?
Nah, not much. I feel like I had a busy weekend, so I didn't get to see too much of it. I had it going in the background on Monday while I was working, so I sort of got the gist of the final stuff. But yeah, with the FBO, I just saw the scores as I woke up in the morning. My tip was Missy Gannon, and she was, I don't know, second or third, I think, most of the way. And Holland looks like she had a bit of a stinker final round. And Silva, who had a stinker first round, just went sort of charge, and then smashed it in round two. So in round four, I should say. So Missy ends up with the win, which is big news for myself. And then Silva takes out second with Holland choking, I guess, away what could have been a nice little victory.
Yeah, double bogey on the last. Yeah, don't know how that shook out. And Missy, you know, got to just win with a bogey. So, yeah, not quite sure how that shook out, but some very familiar names, top four right there in the FPO. It's been a little while since the top four has been so familiar. I think there's been a lot of mixed names kind of find themselves up there. So good to get back to some normal programming.
Who was your tip?
Hannah Blomroos. Not good enough. Obviously, I am very aware with my spreadsheet that this was a 1.25 event and not a 1.5 event. So, yeah, not pulling my biggest names, but I want better than 16th from Hannah.
Better than a DNF, though.
That's true.
That's what I got out of Hannah.
It's true.
Shit. In the blokes, it was pretty spicy. It looked like Paul McBeth was going to just absolutely tear it up, right? Huge yeah. First round, and then, you know, sort of decent from there, but just couldn't quite hold enough, and definitely not good enough in the final round. So he sort of found himself out of it by the end. And it was just like Gannon sort of just was there, but never looked like much, right? And then he just is inevitable.
Yeah, it is inevitable. Tell me you saw his whole 18 roller.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Unbelievable. By that stage, I'd fully stopped working and was watching. And
yeah,
like when he misses the putt on 17, I was like, oh, there's no chance Ricky misses this. I was like, he couldn't possibly miss it. Like his style with the up and down, like he's got no dramas with this. Like, boom, easy cash. He cages it. And I was like, oh, well, that's crazy. And then I was like, well, Gannon's roller could be trash. And it was the best shot I've ever seen. That was crazy.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't look at that gap. I'm like, how do you even think about throwing a roller through that gap, let alone just the perfect one that cuts and stands up and then just gets around the corner and gives you the easiest little look you'd ever want? What are you going to do? When you can do throw shots like that, what are you going to do?
Yep, impressive.
And I think Jake Hebenheimer went in with the lead into the final round, potentially. Nah, couldn't have, because they shot the same.
No. Heimberg had the lead.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, fair enough. But yeah, very, very nice tournament from him. Calvin, obviously good. McBeth still decent with the sixth place. The Goose firing up, Antela dropping off a little bit, but all the big names that you're looking for all right up in there. So who is your tip in this one?
I had Wysocki. With a niggling knee, and he's just put out on the media that he's got a dicky little wrist as well at the moment that he's getting rehab on. I'm very pleased with the second.
I am not so pleased with my 18th place for Isaac Robinson. Just a disgusting round two and not good enough round one. Yeah, barnstormed in with a very nice score in round three, but didn't do much in four. Could have found himself at least in the top 10, but he didn't. He just didn't. So pretty trash there. And two strokes just makes the biggest difference. 10 to 18. It's just two strokes. Just fuck, man. A couple OBs here and there. No good.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh well. We got a break and then the playoffs, or is the playoffs up like this week?
No, there's a break. Playoffs next weekend.
The Green Mountain Championships or something. All right, should we do a bit of Throllers Guarantee then?
Yes, please.
All right, are you looking at the social day or are you looking at what's it called?
I have them both up. I'm definitely loving what I'm seeing in regards to the pro divisions finally beefing out at Cobden just in time. That obviously that lure of that dollar has just been enough to get a last couple of people over the line. I'm looking at both. You want to gamble on Cobden and I'll gamble on Bicentennial?
Sure. Sounds good.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Paddy Robinson alluded to a potential late call up for himself on the tee off. I think he did that to Ryan Michel for the, what's the one in Mount Gambier? He snuck into that one late into the cash and ran away. And he's like, should I do that again? So it'd be very good to see the battle between him and Ville, which they just drew in Inverleigh. What would that look like for you? A Paddy versus Ville battle?
It's nearly, 4-6. It's not far from being a 3-7, to be honest. I've got to give Paddy his flowers. 4-6, Paddy's favourite.
4-6, Paddy's favourite. Okay. And I'm seeing three names in the MP40 now, which is pretty spicy. So Josh Smith was just there to take the cash for nothing. And now he's got a Ash and Jace playing doubles. Is that
they'll need to?
he's got some competition. He's played very well at Inverleigh, so we'll have to see if he can hold that up. But there's three people in it now: Ash and Jace making their MP40 debut. I think so. That's cool.
That is cool.
That dipshit Penn entered MA1. Just like has get fuck sound. Just. Leave me alone, please. Let me win one event.
Yeah.
But the MA1's be tough anyway, so I wasn't really counting my chickens there. I don't know much about Marty Orberg. He was at Inverleigh, but what are we... I don't know if I'm going back. I was going to look at Cranny, but I don't think he's played enough lately for me to love anything there. What about... Sam Barnett versus Juan.
Ooh, that is spicy. I will... Sam Barnett just free-falled in the latest rating update. I will not give him the nod, though. Oh, I will give that 5-5.
5-5. Sam Barnett versus Juan. Okay. I can't ever do anything with Bacanti. Every time I think he's good, he's shit. Every time I think he's shit, he's good. So I looked at it for a second. I was like, don't you fucking do it. I don't love that. I really want to pick Ville. But I can't. I'll have to take Paddy, 4-4. Is that what you said?
I did, yeah.
I can just see Ville winning this, though. But I'll take Paddy for 4. Paddy head-to-head versus Ville.
All right, cool. All right, Bicentennial has a couple of spicy names, and I can't wait to hear how you're going to score this one up for me. I would love a Ruben Berg versus Darren Stay-Smith.
Ooh, Rubes is back. Okay.
Yeah.
Rubes is back. Daz are always good. Oofed. I couldn't split them. I'll give you fives. I can't split that. What do you like?
Please.
Oh, sorry, you dropped out. Which one of them do you like? It sounded like you clicked quick. I'm in trouble here.
Daz, I want Daz.
You want Daz? Okay. Why? Is Ruben just been MIA? Like, is there something I'm missing? I know Daz is good there, but
Ruben... No. I don't know. He was over in China and stuff. No, I don't know nothing. But it's just Bicentennial. It's Daz's home track. I'm backing in Daz.
All right. Yeah. Sounds good. You got Daz for 5, and I've got Paddy for 4. Those are big dogs this week. We're going in with the big boys, so.
Yeah.
Exciting. All right. Let's do a bit of spotlight, not light to finish.
Yes, please.
I've got nothing, but I've got something from Matt Finnegan. So he's got a spotlight and a not light. So that's going to have to suffice for me, I think. I've just got to find it. He sent it to me last week, but then I didn't write it down, so it didn't come out.
Yes.
I don't know. It happens too often. He put it in our little group chat. All right. I think I've got it here. So he goes, team, I have a spotlight and a not light. He goes, although Throllers seems to avoid entering into the political world, I think a spotlight should be out for our own Ruben Berg, who is doing amazing work and putting himself out there as the founder and co-chair of the First People's Assembly of Victoria. Since the yes vote failed, Ruben and his team have taken up the challenge of making a real difference at grassroots level for First Nations people. So that's sick. I wasn't aware Rubes was doing that. So that was really good to know. And yeah, fantastic by him. And a very good... Spotlights! Oh, that keypad is loud. I'll just turn that down real quick. And he goes, he's not light. He goes, he's been playing disc golf for a year and a half now, and he says that it should have come with a warning. Something like, yes. Derek and Clive said, you should label things. When he first joined the club, he had some sort of soft warnings from fellow club persons about the sport and some passing comments that he didn't take very seriously. But really, the sport should come with a warning. Welcome to years of heartache, pain, and addiction. And that is, this sport may impact your social life and circle of friends. So his not light is, no one warned him that this guy's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a rabbit hole that's hard to get out of as it goes. Great spotlight. Ruben's leading a power work. And, right, we don't want to get too political on here, but a good mate of ours, Alan, did you see with the protests and whatnot, all the bullshit shenanigans that were unfolding in the city, and Nick V found himself in the thick of it?
Oh, I did not.
Yeah. Getting this wrong and butchering it, and I'll blame baby brain, but a few supremacists were attacking a peaceful process of First Nation people, and Nick V was a part there. For, I don't know if he had wind of it or whatever, but was also defending this sacred land of the First Nations people, and found himself right in the thick of it, and it's all very ugly. But kudos to Nick Valentini for being there and providing support.
Yeah, well done, Nick. That's great. No, yeah, missed that one. No, fantastic, yep. Nick. Sorry it had to come to that.
Yeah. I'm a bit light on myself. I already mentioned the Gannon Burr roller, which I just thought was bonkers. One that I kind of throw to occasionally, but I have to throw to again, is just like listener contribution and just our listeners. We're a growing family here at Throllers, which is really, really exciting for Alan and I. It had been a while since I've been out to a social day, and I was just immediately reminded how strong and passionate our family is, and how that it's growing. And I obviously received a couple of messages on the Wednesday when we didn't release, but then I had a few people reiterate those messages, like, boys, like, I listen Wednesday night, like, you can't let us down like that. So it's just great. It's just great to know that us two talking shit is people, something that people actually want to listen to. And I get a lot out of it. And it was brilliant seeing, obviously, all of the jerseys, particularly those tie-dye ones. Alan was a late withdrawal, which meant I still don't have my tie-dye one. But it was awesome seeing a couple of those tie-dye shirts. I think Musi was wearing tie-dye, and I already mentioned Mia was as well, which was really, really cool.
Mm, yeah, excellent. I do love that. I did remember one thing. I think I saw it on socials all over the place, but the tee off Instagram was the Almost Ace by Nicholas Ansela on hole 13. I'm pretty sure it was hole 13 anyway. Did you see that?
Yeah, sexy.
That is messed up. That hole is crazy. I was trying to think back. I was going to look into it and I didn't, but I feel like that might have been one Paul didn't get on his neg 18. Was that the one? Like, he took an eagle and there was one par. I can't remember. I know it's tough as shit, that hole, like, trying to get anywhere near the pin. And he almost fucking rings it up. Like, it's crazy. That would have been, like, the craziest ace on tour. But just a tad low. So, but it'll take a spotlight for me anyway.
Beautiful.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah, I'm going to fucking look forward to dominating Cobden this weekend. Just smashing it. And Thrall is the following weekend, which should be spicy. We're at capacity. I think we might even be a little trickle over capacity. So, well done to everyone who's signed up. It's going to be a good event.
Huge. Bring it on. Good luck to everyone who has the pleasure of playing on the weekend. Peace out.
Bye.